This is the TriStar State, a conversation about Tennessee politics from Nashville Public Radio. This is the episode for the week of April 21st, 2019. I'm Chaz Sisk. There's been a lot of changes in the last weeks to Governor Bill Lee's education savings account proposal. The legislature is still workshopping the details of the school voucher plan, and GOP leaders are trying to convince rural lawmakers on the fence to vote for the bill. WPLN's political reporter Sergio Martinez Beltran has been following the negotiations, and he says it's been difficult for supporters to balance all the competing interests. Hello, Sergio.
Hi, Chas.
So we've seen voucher proposals several times in the state legislature, and there's often a big burst of enthusiasm with supporters declaring that this is their year, and then they seem to get bogged down somehow. So what's the big point of contention right now?
It seems like the biggest point of contention is which school districts will be covered under the education savings account plan. The original proposal called for making kids in six big city school districts eligible for a $7,300 school voucher. At least that was the idea when it was first introduced by Governor Lee's administration and legislative leaders. But that's not the case anymore. Now lawmakers are talking about limiting eligibility to four counties, or maybe just two, Davidson and Shelby counties. We've been saying this in the past, Chaz. You know, the only way this controversial measure is passing is if lawmakers in both chambers agree on the details. And right now, it's unclear they are reaching middle ground.
So why would Republicans in the state legislature want to limit vouchers to big urban districts? Isn't this something voters in suburban and rural areas want too?
Well, when you think about it, in some rural counties, the school district is the biggest employer. A lot of these rural lawmakers respond to public school teachers and administrators. And one of the reasons why school vouchers have failed in Tennessee in the past is because urban and rural lawmakers have banded together to oppose them. So I think Republican leaders see narrowing down the scope of the program as a way to get votes. Here's East Tennessee Republican Matthew Hill talking about what's been happening at the Capitol as GOP leaders try to line up the votes for vouchers.
I, as a rural legislator who have a storied history of voting no on voucher legislation, I'm actually quite appreciative that we were able to get everyone to the table, that everyone in the rural community was included.
One provision Representative Hill is pushing for is for the voucher bill to put more money in rural school districts. And that would happen by taking money that initially was meant to go back to the urban public schools as compensation for school vouchers. GOP leaders carrying this bill really would like to see it approved. At the end of the day, Chaz, this is arguably Governor Lee's most important initiative so far, and they want it to be successful, so they're doing anything they can to make it happen.
Including offering rural Republicans more money for their school districts to get them to come around on vouchers.
That's right.
So there's another aspect of this ESA bill that's been a point of concern for some lawmakers, and that's asking parents for proof of immigration status in order to qualify. Now, there's some fear that that could violate federal education laws. So why is that part of the legislation?
GOP lawmakers are getting a lot of pressure from outside groups who say that undocumented immigrants would be benefiting from this voucher program. That's a new argument against vouchers we've seen this year. Republican lawmakers in the House have been especially interested in asking a parent for proof of their immigration status. Now, in the Senate, the story is a bit different. Speaker Randy McNally has said he wants to make sure whatever passes is legal. Recently, the Tennessee Attorney General's office was asked to opine on the bill, but they decided to refuse, claiming there's imminent threat of litigation and that the office might be involved. That's something unusual. Reporters asked Speaker McNally about this. He suggested the Attorney General is sending a message by not backing the legislation, that he doesn't think it's constitutional.
Reading between the lines, that would be my opinion, but I'm not an attorney. Never wanted to be one.
McNally says that the Senate version would ask parents for other documents like W-2 forms, not necessarily immigration documents.
And they're also going back and forth about homeschooling, whether those costs should be covered. It sounds like on that question, House lawmakers are the ones who want to be cautious. They've been worried about the possibility of fraud.
That's right. House lawmakers are the ones who dropped homeschooling from vouchers because of that risk of fraud. But on the Senate side, some are arguing that if we're talking about giving parents choice, homeschooling should be included. And again, all of these differences we've discussed have to be solved before the end of session if GOP leadership wants this to happen. Speaker McNally says this is probably going to end up in a conference committee with some last-minute negotiations.
You know, we've talked a lot about school vouchers, but Governor Lee got some good news on another piece of legislation, setting up a new commission to review applications for charter schools. That passed the House and the Senate last week, so briefly remind us what that does.
Yeah, so that was a semi-controversial bill, but like you said, it passed. This measure creates the Tennessee Public Charter School Commission, which is a 9-member panel where groups whose applications for a charter school has been rejected can go to and appeal the decision of local school districts. This has been handled by the State Board of Education, and the thinking is a new commission could focus just on this.
All right, well, thank you very much, Sergio.
Thank you.
Sergio Martinez Beltran covers politics for WPLN. You can keep up with our coverage of the state legislature this session by subscribing to the TriStar State. Find it at WPLN.org/TriStar or on your favorite podcasting app.